Decibel Geek Podcast with Chris Sinzak and Aaron Camara.
Welcome to the most important news source in the world. Welcome to the Decibel Geek Podcast. My name is Aaron Camara, esteemed journalist. My broadcast partner with many, many years of experience in bringing you the news, Chris Sinzak.
You're so kind.
We are professional grade.
We are?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm glad to know that.
Because today we're bringing you the news.
Yeah.
Bringing back new noise. It's kind of cool, you know. We do the new noise episodes. We did the live act episode, you know, and a lot of the feedback we got was we like it when you guys talk the whole time.
Yeah, so we're going to do that again.
So we're going to do that today. We're going to do the new noise. We got all kinds of cool stuff to talk about. We had a really awesome concert experience just the other night. We're going to tell you all about that and a whole lot more. But before we get into all that, you know we've got to take care of our business. And today, I am hoping and praying that we've got some reviews.
Me too.
So let me open this bad boy up and see what we got. And oh my goodness, we've got reviews, my friend.
It's about friggin' time.
Whew. All right. Thank goodness. I was scared there for a minute. All right. This is the first one. It comes to us from Podchaser. It comes to us from Rush 5150. All five stars are there. We're off to a good start. It goes a little something like this. Okay. Tired of Aaron being sad. This is my third review. One for iTunes, one for Facebook, and one here. Maybe this time I won't have a spelling error like on the iTunes. You guys are awesome and one of my favorite podcast mentors along with the Combat Rock and Metal Podcast. Keep pushing on, brothers. And yes, that was an REO Speedwagon reference.
All right. Heavier side of REO Speedwagon coming up in the future?
I don't know about all that.
Never know.
I guess, man. Anything's possible.
That's true.
That's cool, man. Thank you for that. Podchaser. All right. We've got one here. It's a recommendation on Facebook. It comes to us from our good friend Brian Murphy. I've been listening to this since episode 4 was posted. A fantastic podcast. Lots of fun to listen to. Very informed hosts. They know they're rock and metal. And best of all, they look for new bands and artists to spotlight. That's sweet.
Very
right
cool.
There. That's the way it does. It's done.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that.
Very cool. I'm so happy to have recommendations and reviews.
Yeah, let's keep them coming. If you enjoy the show, it means a lot to us to hear from you on iTunes, Podchaser, and Facebook. And
it's not fair for the one guy to have to carry the whole load and leave 10 different reviews in 3 different places.
Yeah, and if you've been listening for a while, like Brian Murphy's been listening since episode 4.
That's cool.
That's awesome. So yeah, if you've been listening a long time, you haven't done it, just go on there and leave one. It's great.
Right on. So then we got our other favorite people, the people that shared and retweeted last week's episode, the return of Radio Sucks Radio Show.
A lot of good feedback on that.
People, yeah, man.
Like,
I had fun with that.
Like our lineup of songs. I was really happy with how it turned out. Okay, well, we had a little issue with this.
Okay.
Because I think I have to blame Dave Shirt, who's like one of our most ardent supporters. He shared it like, I don't know how many times, like 90 times or something crazy like that. So Facebook only, for some reason, cuts off what I can see as far as the shares. I know a lot of you shared it.
That guy's a machine, literally.
So the Facebook list is very, how do they say, truncated. So we have, and I have a few on Twitter. So Dave Shirt, Ace Scoble, Eric Paul Desfoe, Jason Blusky, Ernesto Aguiar, Robin the Hood, Cobras and Fire, Reese Lett, Tom Smoke, Eladio, Jeffrey Mendenhall, Mercury Arc, and of course,
the Mooger Fooger. That came up a lot quicker than I expected.
Well, yeah, because Dave Shirt broke Facebook, apparently.
That's cool, man. We appreciate everybody that takes the time to get out there and let the world know about what we got going on here. We have so much fun bringing you guys this show, and one of the things we love so much about it is the community that it's kind of created over these past 8 years. And, you know, the great example of that community is our Facebook page. You know, you just go on Facebook and like that, and then you get in on all the conversation. There's so much fun stuff going on in there, and then it's all these people, you know, all these people from all over the world, different walks of life that have the one thing in common, the love of hard rock and heavy metal, just like us. And they love this show, and we're able to kind of bring all these people together, and that's great, you know. So we want to keep that going, and by getting out there and sharing, retweeting, leaving reviews and recommendations, you know, you're doing your part to continue to grow the community. There's people out there still that don't know about the Decibel Geek Podcast.
As hard as that is to believe.
It's hard, yeah. I know. Let's get the word out.
Yeah, so we ready to talk a little music news? And
Or
do we want to get into the Ace show review first?
Oh, man, that's all I've been thinking about.
Yeah, so let's do that on the top here.
Okay, well, no, because the number one news story in the whole wide world, because we are the number one news source in the world, we have to start it out like this.
Huh.
The number one news story, Ozzy Osbourne is not going to die.
Oh, that's good news.
Ever.
Ever?
Ever. He's immortal.
You freeze him in carbonite or something?
No, he's just going to live forever. Ozzy Osbourne cannot die. You can throw him down the stairs. Mm-hmm. You can give him the flu. He can snort ants. Whatever. You know, nothing can kill Ozzy.
The last two people on Earth are going to be Keith Richards and Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne. And then Ozzy's going to have to kill Keith. And
right. And then snort his ashes.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, man. It sounds like he's on the mend. That's great.
I love it. That's great news.
Yeah.
I don't want to imagine a world without Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, that would be a sad day.
Because, I mean, everybody knows I love Kiss. I love Ace Frehley. Mm-hmm. But my number two is always going to be Sabbath / Ozzy.
Yeah.
You know, because I came up on Sabbath when I was a little bitty kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then discovered Ozzy when I was a little bit older. And between Kiss and Ozzy, those have always been, like, some of the constants in my life.
I know we did the other Sabbath episode and we did the Dio stuff, but we've never really done any Ozzy solo episodes devoted to him or any early Sabbath episodes.
We need to change that, because that's some of the best music ever created.
Should add that for the agenda this year.
For sure. Sooner than later.
Yeah. That'd be a good idea.
Maybe next week.
Next week? Okay.
Why not? Sounds like a great idea to me.
Cool. Sorry. So where do you want to go?
Let's see. Ozzy's doing good. I guess now we can talk about the Ace show.
Okay.
Because we talked about it last week that we were excited to go, and mm-hmm. now is the afterglow of all that because we have went and have returned.
Yeah, and I expected it to be an entertaining show because, our friends are playing in the band, and we know how good they are, and they tend to raise the game for the people they're backing. And
oh, totally.
But this blew my expectations completely out of the water. It's the best Ace concert I've ever been to.
You know, it's one of them things I was thinking about. Ace Frehley always surrounds himself with great musicians, like even all the way back to the Frehley's Comet. You know, that was a top-notch band. And then when he came back with Anomaly, he mm-hmm. had the great band with Derek Hawkins mm-hmm. and Brian Esposito. And, what was the drummer's name?
Was it still Scott Coogan at that time?
Scott Coogan.
Yeah.
The drummer, yeah. And that was a great band, too. And now he's got Matt Starr and Ryan Cook mm-hmm. and Jeremy Asprock and Phil Schaus. Oh, man, it's hard to pick which one's the best, but I gotta agree, this is the best Ace concert I ever saw.
Yeah, the band was incredibly tight, and Ace was really on it. Like, I think
he was.
It was probably the most fluid performance I've seen of him live, where he was nailing pretty much every solo, and like there wasn't really a down period in the show. Every song came off really well.
Yeah. Boy, the one thing that I really, really took away from that show
mm.
is how much having Ace Frehley on guitar gives to those Kiss songs mm-hmm. in a live environment. You know, if you're talking about Kiss versus Ace Frehley, because that was a big conversation after that show that night with a lot of people that I was around, and I was listening to all kinds of people and their different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was some people down there that night that I would never expect to hear this from
mm-hmm.
that said, wow, this was better than Kiss.
It was better than Kiss.
So you look at it from like a show, you know, perspective with the explosions and the bombs and the big production, all that. It's wow. Kiss all day long. If you want to talk about the music mm-hmm. and the songs.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Kiss is not touching what Ace Frehley's doing right now.
Not from what we saw. And I mean, it was minimal lighting, just no pyro or anything.
No.
But you didn't need it. I mean, because it was like, you know, I said when we left the Kiss show a few weeks ago, it was a great show. It was well choreographed, produced, tons of pyro. I mean, it's a good show.
Yeah.
But
it was fun.
But I didn't really have that magical feeling I used to get after leaving a Kiss show. That changed with the Ace show. Because, like,
I agree.
You just feel elated after seeing such a great set of songs.
I don't know. I felt pretty good after the Kiss show, too, but
I enjoyed the Kiss show. I'm not saying it was bad.
Right.
It didn't take me back to feeling like the early days
like
when I was a kid.
Yeah, no,
and
the
Ace show did
that.
Do that because the songs were they just had so much life to them, you know?
Yes.
There was just sort of I feel like Ace was kind of, and I'm not saying Kiss isn't good without Ace. They still are, but Ace was just kind of the soul of that music, right. You know, and you could
like
really
you say,
hear it.
Kiss isn't bad without them.
No.
But, man, they would sure be a lot better with
him. Would love it if he was back in the... I mean, I think he, you know, he did a good full two-hour set. I mean, like, Paul Stanley saying Ace isn't up to the task. I'm sorry, Paul, you're wrong.
Totally
he,
wrong.
I mean, he played phenomenal.
Yes. Oh, man.
Strange Ways, even nailed the solo to Strange Ways, which was basically recorded backwards to start with, and he still... pulled it off live.
On that guitar, man, he hasn't missed a step.
Solo for Hard Times.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I mean, yeah, I mean, and then, and let's not forget the other star of the show was the freaking crowd.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Everyone was singing along to every single song.
It was amazing. It was such a cool feeling to be in a place where, you know, for me especially, I'm seeing my dude, my favorite guy, you know, my favorite band, and hearing my favorite songs, and the whole place is just as excited to hear this stuff as I am.
Yeah, it was a great night. And then the
set list was amazing. I mean, you played Rock Soldiers.
Yeah, that was cool. And you know, he did some solo stuff. I mean, he mostly stuck to the Kiss stuff, and I was kind of whining about that before, but then it was almost like, after seeing Kiss a few weeks ago, it was almost like Ace's answer to, well, here's how the song should sound.
Right.
And yeah, like, you know, I think Kiss played Cold Gin a few weeks ago, but like, when Ace did it, it just sort of kicked its ass.
Yeah, it did.
And I know we're not supposed to make them into competition with each other, but, you know, it's kind of hard not
that's
to compare
the way
them.
It's always been, you know.
Yeah.
That's the way Kiss fans are, and we're no different. And it just always seems to line up that way. Like, you know, just like back in the day when Hot in the Shade and Trouble Walking came out right around that same time,
yeah.
You know, right in the time when, you know, that kind of stuff was important, where people would go, oh, you know, Kiss is selling more. Yeah, but Trouble Walking's a way better album, you know. There's always been that competition, and throughout the years, they've fed right into that just as much as anybody else.
Sure. But yeah, it was the highlight, which was for me, was Cold Gin, because, and that's the song that really kind of made me a Kiss fan, but the way they got it, and by that, this was like maybe five or six songs into the set list, and the crowd was just amped up, and they were so into it that none of the guys in the band would even bothered singing because the crowd was so overwhelmingly loud. They just sang the whole damn thing. It was
one of the best sing along concerts.
It really was. 2000 Man had a huge sing along going too. It was magical. It really was. And I, you know, and I'm, everybody knows me. I'm very glass half empty person, and I'm willing to critique things. But I couldn't find really anything to critique with this show. It was all great.
Did Ace have a guitar malfunction for Shock Me? In the solo, it seemed like the guitar smoked like right off the bat, but then it didn't really
much
later during the solo.
That wasn't really a giant feature like it usually is.
Yeah.
But his solo was great, too.
Oh, man, the solo was fantastic.
Yeah.
Man, that guy has got it. He's never lost it.
Mm-mm.
He's another one. He's going to live forever.
Ace Frehley, Keith Richards, and Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The last three men on Earth.
I'd be okay with that.
Right. But yeah, it was great night. If you get a shot to see this band, definitely do it,
because definitely
it's
do
totally
it.
Worth your time.
Well, I guess you want to use that to kind of segue into some more Kiss news.
Yeah, sure.
Paul Stanley's got that new book out.
Yeah,
read some like
snippets.
Yeah, read some snippets online about some of the things he said about it, some of the things he said about Ace and Peter and stuff like that, but I haven't had a chance to check it out yet.
I'm sure he said nothing but glowing things about Ace and Peter, right?
No, not exactly. Not so bad about Ace. A little harsher on Peter.
As always.
But that's the story. It's always been the story.
Truly don't like each other.
Yeah.
The only thing is, like, yeah, I saw the excerpt about Peter. You know, Peter's always been a negative person. He's miserable and blah, blah.
He's not nice to hotel staff.
Yeah. But it's just like, it's just one of those things where it's like, haven't you bashed the guy enough, Paul? I mean, like, the man hasn't really said anything publicly in years. And I don't know. He's happily retired. There's a more diplomatic way of going about things.
Right, but I guess that's the response to when you get an Ace Peter back. When you get an Ace Peter back. When you get an Ace Peter back.
Yeah, I guess. I think there's a chip on his shoulder over that, I guess. But that's just like, God, just let the guy live in his retirement. Quit taking shots at him. It's way past the point. He hasn't worked with you in almost two decades now.
Yeah.
Just drop it.
But famous people that got some money being not cool to the hotel staff, that's not all right either.
Oh, I'm not saying Peter was ever easy to deal with. I'm sure a lot of what Paul says is true about him. But it's one of those things where it's like, you know, are we ready to move on yet or not? But I don't understand the, you know, it sounds like, and I've started listening to the audio version that somebody in the podcasting world was nice enough to send to me. And and I'm listening to it, and it kind of vacillates between, you know, a little bit of Kiss discussion, but then a lot of these really cliched self-help type things.
Yeah.
You know, about how, you know, Paul
was the inspiration.
It was a lot of, like, I was bullied and a lot of my childhood was miserable. And, like, which he hits a lot of that in the first book. It's kind of like, I'm not really totally sure what purpose this book serves, because it sounds like he's rehashing a lot of
money.
Stuff. Well, yeah, money, for
it's
sure.
About releasing it and knowing the Kiss fans will buy it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter really what's in it if you've heard the stories before, as long as you buy it before you figure that out.
But I'm just, you know, Paul was kind of my favorite member growing up, but, like, he's definitely become my least favorite member. Well, next to somebody else we'll talk about. But he's become probably my least favorite member of the band. And just, I don't know. He just, for somebody who always claims that he's risen above and he doesn't hold grudges and he's happier than he's ever been, but then he goes on, and then on the same token, he'll go and slam other people and find always ways to blame other people. It's just like, well, clearly you're not as in good of a place as you used to be. But
true.
I don't know. I guess I missed the Paul unless Stanley that was PR friendly in the 80s, that I had the right answers for every question.
But otherwise, too, you know, those are the little quotes that the blabbermouths are going to run with, you know, and then you know them's going to sell some more books.
Yeah, but you and I both know. We've talked to plenty of people that have worked behind the scenes, and this is not...
There's three looks you're going to get
exactly.
Here, Chris. And I'm going to tell you, the first one is, I need a different microphone.
Yeah.
Number two is, go grab me a water out of the fridge in the kitchen.
All right.
And number three is, I better not see you after the podcast is done being recorded.
No, I'm not your tech.
Do you see my aura?
Yeah. It's purple.
Sure.
But we just heard so much behind, and like I've over the years doing this show, I mean, I've kind of learned that all four guys, there's a lot of things that I don't like about all four of them, but it just proves that everyone's human.
Sure,
everyone's
of course.
Got faults. Ace was certainly no easy person to deal with. His work ethic sucked for a long time.
Yeah.
Peter whined all the time. Gene could be brutish and an asshole behind the scenes to people. But, you know, I guess because when you get into the band, you think they're like perfect people. You think they're just superheroes.
It's what you envision in your mind when you're sitting there as a kid listening to the records versus what people really are. And that's what they are, people.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know, there's times with doing this show where I'm like, sometimes I wish I didn't know as much as I do, because we've learned so many behind-the-scenes stories through doing this show.
Oh, man, just to have that Kiss ignorance back as the youth.
Yeah, I mean, for real, back when you'd get everything from Metal Edge, Hit Parade, or Circus.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so it's
Kiss exposed. That's totally how Kiss lives.
Yeah. Paul Stanley with his Rock and Roll All Night doorbell.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene with his female heads on the wall.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, the Me Too movement wouldn't take kind to that today, would they? But yeah, so I don't know. But Paul's got a book out. Let us know what you think if you've read it. I'd be interested to hear some conflicting reviews on that from what I've had to say about it. It's another product, just like Gene did his what was it, the Me Ink or whatever that just came out, or On Power. He's got all these.
What is that?
They're like business advice books. So I never bothered to read those either.
Huh.
But, you know, if you're a Kiss fan, Kiss completist, then you'll want to pick those up, I'm sure.
Or if you're a business person.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine business advice from Gene Simmons could be that bad.
Well, first you meet Bill O'Coin and have him put everything on his credit card, and then you get famous.
All you need is a Bill O'Coin.
Yeah. But, I don't know. It's interesting stuff. But, yeah, I mean, good for Paul. At least these guys are still working, I guess. It's good for something. But I'm ready to see... You know, concert footage, audio, like open the vaults up.
Yes.
I'm ready for that. There are some cool photos that came out of Paul's book that have been on the net this week. Did you see those?
No.
There's a couple of pictures.
Stuff never seen before?
Yeah, there's
like
the first press kit photo they had where their makeup is very amateur, basically.
Right.
Where they're all kind of just sitting together. Their heads are together. Two photos from that shooter in Paul's book, and those got put out, and they're really interesting. And they were taken, it's them sitting at a park across the street from the loft that they rehearsed in, and it was called Madison Square Park.
That's pretty cool.
So those are really interesting. So there's, and then also
I always love it when I see old pictures of bands, you know, that you'd never seen before. Like I saw one this week with Ozzy on a raft.
Oh, really?
I was like, what the hell is this? It sure is awesome though, because it's like from the 70s.
Right. Huh. And then there's one with It's a photo of Paul Stanley's taxi driver license from the 70s.
Oh, wow.
He's got a mustache and like mutton chop sideburns. And it says Stanley Burt Eisen on the license.
Wow.
It was like expires 1974.
A Wicked Lester on the bumper sticker.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. So we filled our KISS quota for the day.
Well, no, not quite,
because we
had a little conversation with somebody that we haven't talked to in a while the other night at the Ace Frehley show that's sort of KISS related. I saw you over there talking to Randy, the former manager of Vinnie Vincent.
I did. I was not expecting to see him that night, but
no.
There he was. And we had a little discussion, and if you're a Patreon VIP, we'll share that with you on there. I'll share the details of what we talked about.
Because that'll fit in perfectly on Torpedo Dudes.
That's right. But
our KISS podcast.
I want to say nothing earth-shattering, but there is one interesting thing in there that you'll probably want to pick up.
That's cool. Well, if you're not a VIP, just head on over to patreon.com, look up Decibel Geek. There's all different levels of commitment for you. Mm-hmm. What you want is the one that gets you the Chris and Aaron show and the one that gets you Torpedo Dudes. That's our KISS podcast.
Yeah, a lot of extra content.
Especially want those things, but there's a bunch of other stuff you can get in on there too. But yeah, get those shows because they're two extra podcasts that you get all the time from us.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there and a lot of behind the scenes talk for sure.
I guess we'll talk about that on the Torpedo Dudes then. So become a subscriber and a supporter of Decibel Geek on Patreon.
Mm-hmm. But we should talk about...
What about Vinny on Mitch? I haven't had a chance to listen to that and you kind of mentioned it to me, but I was going to ask you about it while we were recording. How did that go?
Well, so Vinnie Vincent was on Mitch LaFon's podcast the other day.
And this was like a current interview like nowadays?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know he was giving anymore.
He gave one to Mitch.
After the Decibel Geek fiasco.
Yeah, no kidding.
That actually went pretty well.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound very familiar to you as we go.
Mm-hmm.
So Mitch did his interview. Not really a lot of hard-hitting questions on this, but then again, at the same time, I think he got out of Vinny what he could get out of him. Because I think with Vinny Vincent, I think if you tried to really put the nails to him and get a real hardcore question in, he'd probably just hang up on you. He'd insult you and hang up on you. So I don't begrudge Mitch going with the way he did. He did let Vinny basically just monologue and ramble, which we had to do the same thing because once he gets going, he just goes.
Right.
So
it was a little easier for us, though, I think because we were talking about music.
Right.
And not anything else, really.
I think that helped we were able to rein him in a little bit more. We are better. But anyway, just my opinion.
Well, okay.
It's called confidence.
I like that.
But no, he did get some interesting stuff out of Vinny about his pre-KISS days. Like there was some interesting talk about him working with Laura Nero, working with Dan Hartman with the Winter Brothers. So if you're into that era of his career, he had some interesting stories, and I do think Vinny was being honest about those stories. And it was nothing that seemed really truly exaggerated. But so most of the interview was kind of softball stuff, and then at the very end, he got into talking about the canceled shows in Memphis and Nashville.
I was going to say, I know Mitch had to at least ask.
Well, it's funny, they wrapped up.
Are you actually going to do this show?
Yeah, because they wrapped up the interview, and it sounded like they were throwing to the end. And then Mitch comes back on and goes, "Well, I had to get this in, Vinny. Thanks for getting back on the phone with me." And then he asked him about it. So kind of like that. Honestly, that I would have led with that.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd be like, the big question everyone wants to know is what happened.
Well, I guess maybe you get to the very end, you got to walk that fine line when you're asking questions.
Can.
You know, you don't want to blow it right off the bat.
That's true. So maybe
so
that's
you
why
save
I waited.
That. Maybe it was one of those things that right at the very end, you think, should I ask it? Should I gotta ask it? I gotta ask it.
Right.
And then ask. And then be like, yes.
But here's the thing. Essentially, Vinny couldn't finger point, but he kind of finger pointed in between the lines to basically blame Derek, the promoter, for the entire fiasco with the Nashville shows. Does that sound familiar? But it's basically, he's like, I was ready to do the shows. It wasn't my call to cancel stuff. You can talk to my lawyer and he'll back me up on this. But he's like said that they basically worked out a settlement between Derek and Vinny that worked for both of them to end it. And, and then he started talking about this speedball jam thing he's doing in June. Instead of saying, I'm sorry to the people that have lost money on hotels and flights, even if he wanted to avoid blame, he could have still said, you know, my sincere apologies right. to, for what you guys have gone through, and I'm sorry for that. No, not a single, but basically, if you don't believe I'm going to go through with shows and you question my ability or anything, then you're a fucking moron. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, wow.
That's what, that was the route he took.
Wow.
Yeah, no accountability at all.
So you don't say, I know that there's been some hiccups along the way that are beyond my control, you know, and I'm really, really sorry to my fans.
No apology.
Who've gone through these difficulties, but let me tell you something. Coming up in Nashville, I will be there, and I will be rocking, and I'm going to make a video right now to prove it to you. Here, check this out.
Yeah, that's where you need to listen to our VIP thing, because there's an interesting thing about the video idea. But yeah. And can he play still? But just the act of telling people that doubt him to go fuck themselves.
Yeah, that's weird.
I literally gave my phone the finger when he said that. I was just like, fuck you.
No, fuck you, Vinny.
It just, it really pissed me off.
That's
a
shitty
thing to say.
You
know how many good people have lost money on this guy? Even if you don't think it's your fault, you need to be at least considerate about
that. So basically, let me put myself in the shoes of somebody that we know very well and care deeply about. Mm. And I've gone and I bought tickets to, you know, Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And got my hotel room and the air flight and all that stuff. And it all fell through. And I lost a bunch of money on the deal. Oh, and then I buy another ticket. I buy another ticket to Nashville, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got my room and my airfare and all that set up for that. Oh, and that falls through.
Yeah.
So I lose money on that deal. So now for the third time in Nashville, if I'm feeling a little apprehensive, the best thing that Vinnie Vincent can give me to feel good about throwing down, what, $300?
$300
$300 for a ticket to see him play as the third try.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm feeling apprehensive about that, the best thing he can tell me is to go fuck myself and I'm a moron.
Right.
I guess I am if I buy this ticket.
Yeah. It's baffling. Everybody wondered why he doesn't succeed. Well, this is why.
Wow.
I mean, he's just, it's just ridiculous. I mean, to treat the few people you have left like that, or, and I mean, I know he's probably coming from the viewpoint of people that are bashing him and whatnot.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that, you know, that have been burned that believed in this guy, and, you know, now he's expecting them to try it again. I mean, come on, man. Don't, I mean, having that attitude, it just makes you look worse.
It does.
You know?
And it makes your fans feel bad about believing in you, I think, you know?
And it's not a big deal to me. I wouldn't go across the street to see this guy play at this point.
But kind of, because we, a while back, were sort of in that same situation.
Oh, sure, I used to be.
Where we really wanted to see Vinnie Vincent do something fantastic and make the big return that we'd all hoped for, and then we saw what everybody else had told us all along, and it just takes different stages for different people, but I mean, I guess in the words of Vinnie Vincent, because we believed in him at one time, we should go fuck ourselves because we're morons.
Okay. Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I just
about Vinnie Vincent to bring the whole vibe of the whole party down.
I just, you know, one of my friends was like, you know, it's really like Stockholm Syndrome. As much as you don't like the guy, you want him to succeed. And I was like, not me. I just want him to stop ripping people off.
Yeah,
people getting ripped off because of actions that have been involving him. It's just ridiculous. I mean, either deliver on what you promise or just go the fuck away.
Yeah,
that's my point on it.
All right.
But
so
anyway,
now,
are
we done with the Kiss talk?
Sure.
Because you got to remember, not everybody that listens to Decibel Geek are Kiss nerds like us.
Alex, we know who you are.
It's tough for some people. So we're trying to knock that out of the way right away. Hey, did I tell you Ozzy's feeling better?
You did.
Oh, woo! That's awesome.
What else we got?
Have you heard the new Wild Hearts song?
I did. I've heard the whole album.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It came out Friday.
I only saw the video for the new song, and let me tell you, that video is freaking disturbing.
I haven't seen the video yet.
Oh, man. Let me warn you.
Which song is the video for?
Don't watch it in front of your kids. It's called Let 'Em Go.
Oh, yeah, Let 'Em Go. That's probably my favorite song on
the
record.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
I like the song a lot, but I'm watching the video going, this is the stuff nightmares are made out of.
Yeah.
It's just
that
brutal.
Bad, huh?
It's brutal.
Huh.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Yeah, I'm happy there's a new record. It's been way too long.
Shoot, yeah. What do you got? You got any news?
Yeah, I thought this was kind of funny. And I saw this on good old Blabbermouth. Ex-Queensryche singer Jeff Tate can be your personal chauffeur on the Rock and Wine tour through France and Germany.
Rock and Wine. Jeff Tate?
Yeah, it says Backstage Pass Travel, whose mission is to bring a different experience of travels, offering fans an opportunity to accompany Jeff Tate on a road trip starting on October 20th in Paris and going to Bordeaux to drink in a beautiful chateau, and continuing to a few medieval castles and cities.
So he's not actually driving the car as his chauffeur.
Jeff drives one van with guests while you relax, reads a post.
That's crazy. So I'm going to get in a van, and Jeff Tate's going to drive me from vinery to vinery? Is that right?
Vineyard.
Vineyard.
Vinery.
I'm not a big wine drinker.
It says a couple years ago, Tate told Anti-Hero magazine that he loves to travel. I get to meet interesting people and have wonderful conversations with people. I get to go to amazing restaurants and visit historical sites. I'm pretty blessed, and I feel very fortunate. I think that I would just like to keep continuing on doing those things for the rest of my life, really.
I mean, it's got to be pretty cool for him, right? You're getting paid to drive around, and the people that you're getting paid to hang out with just kiss your butt all day.
Well,
and the drunker on wine they get, the more they love your band.
I'm already picturing Baco and Loose Cannon covering this on the Cobras and Fire. Because Jeff Tate driving you on a wine tour through Europe. The jokes just write themselves. So,
stop buying us beer and start contributing to our fundraiser so we can go to Europe.
And heckle Jeff Tate while he drives us.
Wow. That would be the greatest podcast ever.
But you better behave or you might get stabbed.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he likes to stab people. You know, remember what happened in South America with Queensryche?
No.
Yeah, he tried to stab one of the other band members.
Really?
Yeah, that's part of why he's not in the band anymore. He freaked out.
I guess that would do it.
He thought they were going to fire him, so he, like, attacked one of them. I think it was the drummer.
Holy shit. Yeah. I did not know that.
But yeah, so Jeff Tate is a man of elegant taste and class, apparently.
And murder.
And murder. So, yeah. So
that's wild.
And Queensryche continues to tour.
I guess if you were in Europe and you had the money, because it can't be cheap.
No, I'm sure it's. I don't know if it has a price in here. That's probably the most important.
But you love Queensryche and you also love wine, but you don't like drinking and driving. I could see that as being worth something.
Let's see
to the right person.
Let's see what the cost is.
I wonder if on days he's not scheduled, if he just drives for people that have no idea who he is.
He's like a Lyft driver?
Well, no, he still works for the same company, and people still go on the wine tours, but they just don't know the guy driving them was once the lead singer of Queensryche. They don't even know who Queensryche is. They just love wine.
And then he educates you.
And he gets paid a little less on the days they're not there paying for the Jeff Tate wine drinking experience.
It looks like it's $2,000.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, $2,000.
I guess, like I said, to the right person, that's something.
If you're a giant Queensryche
fan
or a giant wine and a wine drinker, I could see it being fun. But
and happen to be in Europe, that'd be something to do.
It's kind of it is kind of sad though, because it's kind of a state on how much money music is making these days, isn't it?
Right.
Where he's got to end up doing this for money.
But it doesn't seem that bad.
No, it's not that bad, but it's just like...
It seems
in the 80s,
cool. That'd be a great job.
He wouldn't have any need to do this. He could just go do a wine tasting or wherever on his own. He doesn't need to drive people around.
But what if in the 80s, if he'd have known that there was something like that where he could make $2,000 a day?
Yeah, maybe.
Would he have quit Queensryche and gone and done this? The way he's talking about it almost sounds like he would have.
Possible. I don't know.
You know, life on the road is tough. Drive you crazy. Make you want to stab people.
Yeah.
You know, the peace and quiet of the European countryside as I drive from
the
vineyard.
The South American wine tour is a lot more dangerous, apparently.
That's not wine, senor.
Yeah, you have to pay extra to get killed. But Baco, Loose Cannon, you know what to do. I look forward to hearing what you have to say about
I can't
this.
Wait to hear it.
What else you got on your list?
I seen that Corey Taylor was doing a show in Iowa, and he did a cover of Poison's Nothing But a Good Time.
Well, you know, people try to kind of paint him into a corner with the Slipknot thing. But
right.
Like, he really is an appreciator of a lot of eras of rock music. So
that's true.
It doesn't really surprise me that he did
that. I'd be way more impressed if that said Slipknot does a cover of Nothing But a Good Time.
Oh, what the fuck would that sound like?
I don't know, but it'd be great.
With like four different drum parts going on at the same time. Ricky Rocket would be like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know he did a club show in, I think, in Illinois a few years ago that I think he did Fucking Shit Ass by LSD on stage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's
I think that was what he did. Or, I don't know.
So are these just Corey Taylor shows?
Like, yeah, I think he does solo gigs now.
Okay, so he plays a little bit like Stone Sour stuff and...
A lot of covers, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of... Yeah. That's pretty cool, too.
He, you know, speaking of Blabbermouth, he's like one of their favorite people. Like, he doesn't matter what he says, it's going to be a Blabbermouth headline.
Yeah.
So he's like the poster boy for Blabbermouth right now. He's kind of like the heavy metal Dave Grohl, because, you know, Dave Grohl pops up everywhere for rock and roll.
Sure.
Corey Taylor's the kind of the metal version of that. Hmm. He's just everywhere.
He's got a TMZ correspondent on him at all times.
Right. You want to talk a little bit about the expo? I have a news story that ties into it a little bit.
You got anything new to tell us about the expo? I guess let's run through everything about the expo.
Okay, Rock and Pod Expo, Friday, August 9th. We have a pre-party concert with the Rock and Roll Residency, 8-Ball from basically Nashville area, and also Lipstick Generation. So all three pretty much local bands.
You guys know Lipstick Generation because Greg Troyan was on the show with us not too long ago, and he did the Thin Lizzy episode with us, and we played that awesome song The Flash for you, and so his stuff is out there to check out. You know, look up Lipstick or Lipstick Generation, and dig it.
And he's a podcaster too,
so that's right. Great. Check out his show.
Yeah, the Lipstick panel is a great show.
We've been on it.
Yeah, we have. And so that's going to be the show. If you're a music podcaster and you want to register to be a podcaster at a certain level, you can get access to a podcaster mixer that's going to happen before the pre-party concert on Friday.
Is that where we all drink mixed drinks?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And we just talk about stuff. Or it's just going to be a big mixing board and we're all going to play around with it. So that's Friday. That'll go late into the night. And then Saturday is the Rock and Pod Expo, which will open to early bird admission at 10 a.m. and then 11 o'clock to everyone else. And boy, we got a lot going on. So
so I just opened up the website here, and there's all kinds of stuff going on here. It's got the list of, let's see, the podcasters. Let's look at that first.
Okay.
You can tell it's an awesome website because it takes forever to open.
That's fast on my phone.
So who do we got announced already for this? Oh, this is just to show you how to do it.
There's a section.
All right. So, of course, Decibel Geek Podcast is going to be there. That's been announced. Well, you know that's true.
Yeah, that's kind of a given.
Cobras and Fire are going to be there. Both of them this year.
Yes.
That's great.
Loose Cannon returns for year three.
Kick ass. Ages of Rock. We just hung out with them the other night.
Yep.
Digital Kill the Radio Stars coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss FAQ. That's Julian Gill and his boys. The Plug with Bushy and the Mountain Man.
Yep.
He made it back.
Yeah, he's back for year three.
That's awesome. The I Love It Loudcast.
Yeah. Peter Cicere and Vinny Folletti. Great show. They came last year kind of as a new show. And then I've got other shows I'm going to be adding this week. I can announce those now.
Yeah.
Podcast Rock City's coming back.
Kick ass. Awesome.
So that's
some of my favorite people.
Yeah. Joe Polo, Sonny Pooney. Those two for sure are coming. Not sure about Jody yet.
Come on, Jody.
He's going to try.
Come on, Jody.
And then the Ken Mills Network of shows is coming.
The KWO.
So that'll fill the rest of the room.
But
now, Ken Mills, Christine the Button Queen, also BJ Cramp from Rock and Roll is coming back.
Awesome.
Lee McCormick from Tramps Like Us.
Right on.
Matt Porter's coming back this year.
Sweet.
So, we've got a lot coming. And then if you have a music podcast and you know, you're on the fence, just, you know, get signed up and join us again this year because it's going to be bigger than it was last year.
I
think it'll be a lot of fun.
If you're impressed with some of the rock stars that are coming to it, that's a pretty prestigious list right there itself.
Yeah, let's go over that. So we've got, of course, kind of the biggest name or headliner right now is Michael Sweet from Striper.
That's very cool. I saw that video he made.
Yeah, and Michael's going to be doing a couple of songs with the Rock and Roll Residency the night before and possibly doing an acoustic thing at the expo. We're still working on that. But Jason Beeler from Saigon Kick's joining us.
Shoot, yeah, I love Saigon Kick.
And Erie Vaughn from Danzig will be coming back
love
this
Danzig
year.
Danzig, too. And Erie Vaughn, he was there last year. He's a super cool dude. And he does some really awesome artwork, stuff that you can buy. Mm-hmm. You know, wow, what amazing painting you have on your wall. Oh, thanks. That was painted by Erie Vaughn from Danzig.
Yeah, it's a good conversation
piece.
How cool
is that, you know? Metal Mike bought a guitar that he painted up all skeletony, cool looking. And I know that thing's hanging on his wall.
Also, we had Todd Poole from Roxy Blue the first year. This year we have the whole band coming.
That's super
awesome.
It's going
to be awesome. Toby Wright will be coming back.
Hell yeah. Master super producer. Yep. The man who came up with a bunch of Alice in Chains. He did Korn's Follow the Leader. And, of course, Kiss Carnival of Souls.
Yep.
come pick his brain.
It's going to be fun to have him back. Brian Forsyth from Kix and Rhino Bucket will be there.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. You know, Brian Forsyth was such a huge part of Kix in their heyday and went on to create some amazing music with Rhino Bucket.
Yep.
You know he's going to be a part of the pre-party, too.
Oh, for sure.
He's going to be up there rocking. You're going to get to see him playing some cool stuff that you maybe never seen him play before. If you love Kix and you love Brian Forsyth, you got to make sure you're going to be there for both nights.
Yeah.
I mean, all these artists that we're talking about, pretty good odds we might get to see them perform at the pre-party.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying.
Also, Drew and Jim from Wildside are going to come.
That's awesome. Wildside. That's a band that Rock and Ron Runyon's kind of brought back into everybody's hearts and minds because I haven't thought about that band in forever.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, now everybody's talking about Wildside and they're back and it's exciting. And we're super excited to have them at Rockin' Pod with us, too.
And probably will be coming on Decibel Geek before the expo.
Oh, sweet.
So we can do an Albums Unleashed on that Under the Influence.
Hell yeah. If you can get it, it's like $50 on Amazon.
I'll see if Drew and Jim can get me a copy. Rick Rule from Every Mother's Nightmare will be returning this year.
Shoot, yeah. That's another band that's really cool to have back. You know, they were gone for a while and came back strong with that big album a couple years ago.
Touring regularly. And Jack Gibson from Exodus is joining us.
That's cool. For the people that love the thrash metal, the heavy stuff, we got that covered for you with Jack Gibson of Exodus. We're going to be doing the Toxic Waltz all over Nashville that week.
I know some people would definitely be doing a Toxic Waltz all over Nashville that weekend.
It's kind of stumbly.
Yeah, I have another podcast I'm going to be announcing probably next week that will for sure be doing a Toxic Waltz all over Nashville, and some of you probably know who I'm referencing.
Say, that's not a very subtle hint.
No, it's not. Watch out. Lock up your daughters. All right. Also, Drew Fortier is coming back this year.
And your alcohol cabinets.
Yeah. Drew's going to come back this year from Zen from Mars and Bang Tango. I'm looking forward to seeing him again. Jeremy Barber, who we just saw at the A Show from Green Jello, is going to
come. He's a super cool guy.
Really
man.
Nice guy.
I really look forward to seeing him at the Rockin' Pod Expo. And we talked to him. He's a huge Ace Frehley fan. He was so excited to be at that show the other night. And we're outside in the outside lounge waiting in between bands before Ace came up. So we got to hang out with him for a little while and talk to him. As cool as he is, man, you guys are going to love being able to spend some time with him at Rockin' Pod, too.
And then the name that I haven't announced, but it'll be announced by the time you hear this, because when the episode comes out, Stephen Chereau from Kick Tracy will be officially announced on Monday.
Right on. And he's a cool dude. Yeah. I like him a lot.
Me too. He said he had a great time last year, so I'm excited to have him back again.
That CD I bought from him last year was so cool that Chris Sinzak stole it and never gave it back to me.
That's true.
It is true. Fucker, where's my CD?
I'll tell you what. I took it because there's no rules. See what I did there?
Oh, well, had I known that.
Yeah. Oh, and there is one big name that will be announced pretty soon. I've confirmed this person, but I can't announce it just yet until
we're
100% ready. Yeah.
Well, how about some hints? How about some clues? Nice and subtle like the last one.
I'd give you a hint, but I'm not going to take it. That's the only hint you're going to get. Yeah.
I can't wait to find out who that's going to be. I got to think. I think I know, at least narrowed it down to a band with that one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Rockin' Pod 3 is going to be better than the first 2 years combined.
It has to be.
I'm so excited that the Hotel Marriott is going to be the place where the whole thing is. It's not like you got to go to your room and then drive back to the venue and then go to your room and drive back to the venue. It's all right there. So when the party's happening and you're done, you just go up to your room, you know? And then, like I said, the pre-party is all right downstairs. We got our own separate area. Everybody's going to be having a good time on Friday night. You don't have to go nowhere, you know? So you're going to be safe. You're going to have a good time. You're going to be amongst friends and rock stars and podcasting stars.
Yeah, because like, I think just about all the guests are going to be staying at the hotel. So we have a discounted rooms through you go to rockandpod.com, click on venue, and you can book a discounted room and stay there.
Yep.
That's your best deal.
It's like one of these rock cruises for people that don't know how to swim.
Yeah, it's a
great.
It's a rock cruise on the land. We'll
totally. No one's going to drown at Rockin' Pod.
Well, unless it's an alcohol.
Because oh, yeah.
there will be a lot of, there will be a number
be
of bartenders
of
throughout there, throughout the venue.
Yeah, there'll be several of us trying to drown ourselves on dry land.
We'll have at least two bartenders in the main convention room.
It's going to be so much fun. I'm excited. Man, the closer we get, the more excited I am about it.
Yeah, so Friday, August 9th, Saturday, August 10th, Nashville, Tennessee. Go to rockandpod.com, get more info, and end of commercial. Let's get back to talking about stuff.
What else you got?
Related to one of our guests, this news came out about a month ago, but it's kind of new to us, is Michael Sweet is doing a project with Tracy Guns called Sunbomb.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tracy Guns and Michael Sweet?
Yeah, it says it's...
Wow. How does that come together?
Well, it says they're collaborating on a new metal project called Sunbomb. The band, which apparently also features LA Guns drummer Shane Fitzgibbon, is currently recording its debut for a late 2019 release on Frontiers. Tracy broke the news of the project's existence earlier today, writing in a tweet, "So I'm in the middle of making the metal record that I would have made when I was 17 years old. The band is called Sunbomb. I really want to thank Michael Sweet for making this a reality, and of course, Frontiers. We are on Instagram at Sunbomb." Short time later, Sweet responded saying, "I'm excited to be part of it, Tracy. Who would have thought when we were young we'd be working together? Thank you for trusting me with vocal duties. Sunbomb is going to be the bomb." And I've heard...
Nice.
Because we have a friend in Nick Teeter from Frontiers Records who actually went to the Metallica show with a couple of months ago, and he kind of gave me the little scoop on it, and he said it's going to be like the heaviest thing you've probably heard either of them do. So it's going to be very outside the box for both of them.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So I'm excited to hear what that's going to wind up sounding like. So
how can you go wrong? I mean, how can that go wrong?
And a plug for our friends at Cobras and Fire again, because Baco did a good interview with Michael Sweet this past week, and he touched on that a little bit within. And I guess Michael said that Tracy came to him initially and said, "I've got this new project I'm doing, and I'm going to send you a song, and would you mind doing the vocals?" And Michael's like, "Yeah, I'll do the vocals for a song." He's like, "No, I want you to do the vocals for the entire record." So he's like, "Oh, okay, well, I guess I'm on board to do the whole record now." So it's interesting, and they talked about the expo and everything, and it's good. So Michael's excited to come to Nashville, and just crazy, you know.
Heck yeah. So like we said, if you want to have an opportunity to see Michael Sweet playing in a pretty cool, unique situation on Friday night, possibility get to hear him do a little something on Saturday.
Possible.
We'll see. But you'll definitely have the opportunity to meet him. Bring your Striper records. Yep. Bring your Michael Sweet records. Bring everything you got, because he's going to sign it up for you. And if you don't have it, we got you covered, because there's record vendors going to be there too. So I'm sure they're going to have some Striper stuff for you to take and get it autographed.
And also for Decibel Geek listeners that like the Albums Unleashed series, well, we're going to do Albums Unleashed live with Michael Sweet going over the Soldiers Under Command record.
That's amazing.
On stage.
Ah, so cool.
So, yeah.
That's the perks.
Yeah, that is the perks.
That's the perks right there.
Yeah, I get to pick my own panel since I'm kind of the guy putting it together. So I'm happy to do that. All right, so got anything left?
Let's see. I got something here that I saw earlier that was kind of interesting and kind of funny to me. Nikki Sixx had done an interview with Kerrang, and he was talking about the rise of grunge and how a lot of the hard rock bands fell off after that, you know, and he said something along the lines of, "I have to say that I don't think that Nirvana and Pearl Jam killed the bands you mentioned," when they're talking about Poison and Warrant and bands like that. He says, "I think they killed themselves. They were making copycat music. We, on the other hand, simply imploded." It's all the same, really.
He's not necessarily wrong.
But it's all the same, really. I mean, you can't listen to Warrant's Dog Eat Dog and say, "Oh, that's just some cookie-cutter bullshit."
No, there was a lot of great stuff in the early 90s, too.
Yeah, and even Poison, back when they had Richie Kotzen and were doing some experimental stuff, and then ended up getting Blue Saraceno and did some really cool stuff. Mm. So I can't really say that band was just doing cookie-cutter stuff at that point either, because those were the years when they were starting to expand and do different things. It was that whole shit was orchestrated by the record industry and the radio industry.
Well, I think he's referring more to like the C-League of copycat bands that copied Motley, Poison,
right?
Rat. Like the originals, they were still doing it, but then they got drugged down because of it too, because there were all these bands that were watering it all down.
But it wasn't like Motley Crue survived it and Poison didn't. Yeah, they imploded.
Sure.
But not really, because they never really went away. They still kept on. They got John Corabi and kept going.
Yeah, but I mean, even if they kept Vince Neil, I mean, they still would have gone through a valley, because it's just the tides are turning, and like you said, the labels dictate what happens. You know, as much as we don't want to admit that, you know, where they put the marketing dollars, that shows what's going to get popular.
Right. And that's what kind of made me, when I read this, what it really did was kind of triggered something in my mind and made me wonder, like, you know, we talked about recently, both on Decibel Geek and on Rock and or Roll with BJ Kahuna, about Dr. Feelgood and what a huge album that was.
Yeah.
What would have happened if instead of, you know, Decade of Decadence coming out, if it would have been a whole new album with the songs that are on Decadence and also the best songs off of New Tattoo, say, what if that album would have came out then? Would it still have been a slump for Motley Crue? Or according to this, would it have just been business as usual, another number one album?
It might have done well out of the gate, but I still think it would be the beginning of a slump for them. There was nobody was safe from the grunge wave.
I don't think so either.
Because it was marketing dollars.
Right.
You know?
When the record company says, and the radio companies, you know, the radio stations say, no more Crue, what do you do? You know, in that era when it wasn't internet where you could just be like, well, I don't have to listen to the radio. I listen to my iPod or I listen to this or that, you know.
Yeah, media was all powerful at that time.
Yeah.
Like there was no outside source to get your stuff from.
So powerful, in fact, that they could kill an entire genre that had just recently been so popular.
Yep.
They held the strings. They really did.
But, I mean, it happens every decade. You know, like at the end of the 70s when they killed disco.
Well, we were talking about radio on the way over here about how, like, they still play Bush like they're some new popular band. But it was because at that time they were looking for the new Nirvana because there was no more Nirvana. And here is this band that sort of sounds like Nirvana.
They were being propped up as the next thing.
But they're a little bit poppier, so it's a little more radio friendly to everybody that maybe couldn't grasp Nirvana.
Yep.
And it's huge, you know, and to this day they still try to push that on you.
Yep, they were like the Nickelback of Nirvana.
Totally, yes.
It's just... But I remember when they were brand new, like they were a big deal, but they had a giant fucking marketing push to them. But like... You know, to go on a radio rant. But yeah, just like, you know, it's 20 years later and the local rock station still plays them like every fucking hour. And it's
why
are they getting so much play? They haven't even been a band in like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
You know, who really is clamoring for this?
Because then again, and the point to that is, I don't understand how that band does it, but every era you get your forerunners, your forefathers, you know, the guys doing it first. And then everybody that comes that second generation around... That was metal, you know, with, you know, everything. Like, you start out, like you said, with Crue, Rat, Quiet Riot, bands like that. And then the next wave came, and then the next wave came and crashed.
Right.
And then what came up? Grunge. So you start out with Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden. And then the next wave comes.
Yep.
And then the next wave crashes.
Yep.
And then what do you got? New metal. And then you got your Korn. You got your Godsmack. You got these bands that are more popular. And then they comes the second generation and the third generation crash and it's something else. You know, I don't even know what it is now.
No,
I don't think it's anything now. Eyes of that, it's you almost hate to say it, but in that instance, for that situation, rock really is dead because there is no thing now.
Well, and I think the internet helped kill that because it seemed once the internet really exploded, you didn't see genres so much anymore or scenes anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it just the whole world is now in your pocket.
Right.
So it's not, there used to be regional bands that were big just in the Southeast or bands that were big in the Northwest. And you don't really have that anymore. It's either all or nothing.
It's all a blur now.
Yep.
Good thing we're here to help pick and choose some of the coolest stuff to talk about.
Yep. That was part of the motivation to start a show in the first place.
Yep.
It was just because, you know, I'm not hearing what I want to hear and I'd like to share a lot of this stuff with other people. And then in turn, you guys that listen turn us on to so much stuff.
Totally. Yeah, we couldn't do the show without the listeners that are always giving us feedback and us listening to that, going, oh, I've checked that out. Oh, man, I got to play that on the show. We got to talk about this.
I mean, you benefit from listening to us, but trust me, the feeling's mutual.
Yeah,
we've benefited from so many listeners from doing this show.
Oh, totally.
You know, there's a lot of stuff we've played on the show where if it hadn't been for a listener saying, hey, listen to this, we would have never known about it.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
I love it.
Yeah, it's like the modern day version of taking a dub cassette tape to your friend's house going, listen to this. It's just on a much bigger scale.
Also the perks.
Yep.
Yep. That's why we love it.
Yep. Well, we got anything else?
What else? Ozzy's never going to die.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Love it.
As of now, Ozzy is still alive.
The other night we were at the show, I overheard somebody again talking about Van Halen going on tour with both David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar. Any truth to that?
Not unless there's going to be a murder-suicide.
I've been hearing that rumor forever.
Yeah, it feels like every 6 months that rumor pops up.
It's like the Motley Crue movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things
that actually happened.
It's bound to happen because it's been talked about for so many years, you know?
I don't know. I think Sammy would absolutely tour with Dave, but I don't think Dave would ever tour with Sammy. There's an ego thing there.
Again, I hate when this comes up because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I don't think Dave Lee Roth should have to tour with Hagar.
I don't know so much either.
It's beneath him.
I mean, I think it would be a cool gimmick, but
I don't know. Maybe I don't care so much nowadays. Maybe if they were both back when they were, I don't know. This is just one of those things that's burnt into my psyche that it's like one of the things you have to hate Sammy Hagar because you love Dave Lee Roth.
Yeah.
And the more strong your love for Dave is, the more your dislike for Sammy must be. So my love for Dave is so strong that I really don't like Sammy.
Yeah.
There are a couple of Van Halen songs with Sammy on them that I think are okay.
There's some I like.
I don't really consider that Van Halen, though, because to me it's such a different
band. It's a different
band. I hate that when a band... Boy, that's could go either way. You know, look at Motley Crue 94, for example, because that's such a great example for so many things. It always seems to come back up. But there you had Motley Crue, totally different band.
Right.
Freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Van Halen... You know, and I know a lot of people disagree with me when I say this, but it goes from 84 into the Sammy Hagar era, not the same, you know, not as good.
Completely different type of music.
Completely different, but in a bad way to me.
Yeah.
You know, in a bad way. So it's always like, oh man, I wish my favorite band would always stay the same.
Right.
Sometimes they change for the better. Sometimes they change for the worse.
You know, I think it would be an interesting gimmick if they did that. The only thing with Van Halen that would really excite me now is if they had the original lineup do a tour with Michael Anthony back on bass.
Yeah.
I would pay top dollar to see those four guys together again.
And that's
because it still hasn't happened.
Yeah, that's the way it really should be.
So I would like to see that.
Ain't it funny, we were just talking last week about how Anthrax should do that.
Oh, with the two singers?
Yeah.
Oh, I would love that because I love both eras so much. You know, I think that would be a killer tour.
I just don't see Dave being cool with that.
Oh, no. You know? I don't think you'll ever see Sammy and Dave on a stage together. I don't think it happens.
I don't know. They said the same thing about Vince Neil and John Corabi at one time, too.
Oh, and those guys got
on a stage together. Not on the tour, but they were able to get on stage together and get along, and it was cool.
Yeah.
But everybody just assumed they hated each other.
No, I don't think they hate each other. I think they like each other a lot, actually.
Oh, yeah, totally.
They both had to deal with Nikki Sixx. But, I mean, there's a lot in common there.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't... I wouldn't want to see Motley try to do a tour with both of them. That would be weird.
No.
You know.
I'd sure love to see Motley do a tour with Corabi, though.
Oh, well, absolutely.
See, that's what they should be doing right now. If that was my advice to Motley Crue, you know, you did say you weren't going to tour no more as Motley Crue.
Change the name.
Why don't you go out on tour and just call yourselves 1994?
That'd be cool.
Or just MC94. Everybody will understand what it is.
Yeah. It'll probably draw as many people as it did then, though. I love Krabby, but
I think it would draw better today because people nowadays understand what a great album that was.
I think they could do theaters. I don't know if
they could definitely do theaters.
Arenas with it.
Probably not arenas.
No.
But they could do like Ace did the other night, places like that.
Yeah,
pack them in.
Play big clubs. I'd absolutely pay to see that. Although I love seeing Corabi just play it with the guys from the Residency. I mean, that's true too.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Be able to, you know, because that was such a short period in history of rock, and I didn't get to see it.
Right.
I'd love to see it now.
Well, I've got a new story that I just thought of that I heard about recently. Apparently, Brian Johnson is back in AC/DC.
That's right. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Because I've been hearing rumors about that there's going to be a new album coming out and another tour.
And the new album has Phil Rudd back on drums, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know if Cliff Williams came back for bass, though.
And I also heard that there were some songs that were already pre-written by Malcolm Young that are going to be on this album, which that's
the
great
album
news.
Is essentially a tribute to Malcolm Young.
And also heard that this is, they're saying, going to be their last album.
Oh, I'd say that's a safe bet at their age. Yeah. And I think Angus, without Malcolm, Angus probably doesn't want to go on that much further.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were so tied at the hip the whole time.
I guess this is part of getting old, but
I
feel sad. Like, we were just talking about Ozzy. Like, I don't want to ever live in a world without Ozzy, but I don't want to live in a world without AC/DC. And I don't want to live in a world without Kiss, you know, and all these bands
we're going to have to.
I know, it sucks.
But, I mean, if AC/DC comes anywhere close to this area, I'll travel to go see that, especially if it's their last tour,
because
I would love to see them live. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy to hear Brian's back in the band. I think Axel did a fine job for them, but it feels right that he's back in the band.
Has there been, speaking of that, any new news on any new Guns N' Roses music?
Just, I think I've heard the same stuff you have.
A while ago, Duff said he heard some new songs and they sounded pretty cool.
I know there is material. I just don't know when it's going to get done or if it'll get done. You know, there's a lot of what ifs with Guns N' Roses.
And I think Duff's out right now doing shows with Shooter Jennings.
Yeah.
That's kind of an odd pairing.
Yeah, he's coming here soon.
I think.
Yeah. He's like an acoustic tour.
That's wild.
But
love Duff McKagan.
It'd be interesting to hear what they could pull out with the lineup. I would hope Adler and Izzy are involved in some fashion, especially with the writing.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
So. Let's see. Any new stories about bands with multiple personalities or multiple memberships? Or that always seems. I'm talking about Rat and LA Guns.
I know. Like LA Guns just played M3. Well, a version of LA Guns played M3 this
week. We haven't had another version of LA Guns in a while.
Yeah. So
what is this, like Mark 52?
Steve Riley and Kelly Nichols are in the version that played M3. I don't remember who else was in the band for this one, but they basically did it as a response to Phil and Tracy telling M3 to fuck off after last year.
What happened last year?
Something with their time slot. They weren't happy with their time slot or something, and they bailed on doing the event. And then I heard Phil say in an interview that like they would never play M3 again. So
something serious.
Steve
must
Riley was like, "Well, if you won't, then we will." So I think it was.
So what do they call it?
They call it LA Guns because Steve Riley and Tracy share ownership in the name, so they can honestly
both go out.
Yeah.
I guess that's why there's been all these different versions of LA Guns over the years, is different levels of membership.
It's just, why can't those guys just bury the hatchet and then Riley join back in with them and just be LA Guns again? Because you already got Kelly Nichols back, so.
So the M3 already happened?
Yeah, it finished up today, I think.
I wonder how they did. I wonder what they sounded like, if Steve Riley still got it.
I'll have to check. I don't know. When he's not busy being the Crypt Keeper, I'm sure he's working on his drumming.
That's good. It's always weird, though. And then Rat, they got, what's going on with them?
It's Steven and Juan have a version of Rat now with these young guys. They call it the new breed of Rat.
The new breed of Rat.
Yeah. And they're playing mostly casinos and fairs, it looks like, right now. So that's where the money
is. That's the only way
you're
going to get
the Rat. Casino gigs pay well from
what. Oh, totally. That Corey Taylor thing where he was doing the Poison cover. It was in a casino somewhere in Iowa.
Our generation is, we're getting to be the baby boomer type generation, so we have the money to go to casinos now.
Let me get up off this one-armed bandit here for a minute and wander over in the other room and catch me some Poison.
Yeah, but I've heard nothing about Warren Demartini. I think he's happily off the road. He just didn't like touring, you know. And
maybe Jeff Tate can get him a job in Europe.
He doesn't need a job. You know who he's married to, right? He's married to the heiress for the Mars Candy Corporation.
Oh, wow.
So he's like a millionaire just by marriage.
And all the chocolate bars
and all the chocolate
you ever
he wants.
Want.
So, yeah, he doesn't need the money. And, like, I heard that, you know, he did go out on tour a few years ago when they started touring again.
Yeah.
And from what Stephen Piercy said in interviews, he was just like, Warren's not accustomed to, you know, riding in the bus and dealing with shitty hotels. And he's just like, he doesn't need to live that life, so he doesn't want to do it anymore. You know, and it doesn't pay the Rat shows don't pay nearly what he's already got. So he's just like, why am I doing this?
You would do it. The only reason you would do it then is because it's fun and it's awesome.
But I don't think it's fun for him anymore.
But then you feel bad because your friends are all riding in the bus and you're flying, you know, jet to the next town.
That might have been the case. I don't know.
You're like, honey, I would take the personal jet, but I mean, the other guys are riding on the stinky old bus. And if I take the jet, I'm going to look like an asshole. So I guess I'm going to ride the bus with these guys.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
And Bobby Blotzer, I've heard he got divorced recently and lost his court case against Steven and Juan, and he's not doing too well, apparently.
Dang. I hate that for him, you know, because people say he's a decent guy.
Bobby Blotzer?
Yeah. I've heard that. Well, John Corabi worked with him. Who else was telling us he's a really cool guy?
The people that say he isn't far outweigh the ones who say he is.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's got a terrible reputation. I've never met the man, so I can't
judge. I've never met him either.
But I've heard some pretty horrific things about him.
Well, hit us up on the Facebook page. Let us know if you ever met Bobby Blotzer and how he treated you.
Yeah, let us know.
We want to decide for ourselves. Is he a nice guy or is he an asshole? You know, it's kind of a split consensus.
We'll do a poll.
Yeah, let's do a poll.
It's Bobby
Blotzer.
You
can only answer with your honest opinion.
So, yeah, Rat is dysfunctional as ever.
Yeah. Almost as bad as LA Guns.
Yeah. But I don't know. Anything else to hit on, or I think we good?
Let's see. Yep. Ozzy's doing good. Yeah, I can't think of nothing else.
I think that's good for today.
All right. Well, there's been your new noise. I don't know what episode this is. I don't know what volume it is, but I'm
You'll
sure
see
all
in the
that,
show notes.
All that'll be in the show notes. You know, of course, as always, thank you guys for listening to the Decibel Geek podcast. So much fun. Got some cool prizes. Getting ready to be mailed out to some of our VIPs. Mm-hmm. One won a AC/DC book.
Yep.
And the other one won some Motley Crue puffy stickers.
From Shout at the Devil era.
These things are freaking antiques.
That's a definite blast from the past.
I'm sending those things all the way to Australia, where they never had puffy stickers.
That's true.
I don't know if that is true.
I don't know. I don't know if it is either. All right, well, what
kind of news show is this?
I don't know. Well, let's go out on a song. What do you want to play to go out on?
Oh, man, let's see. We talked about so many different bands today. I wish we could... Can we play Corey Taylor singing a Poison song?
We can try.
Is it on the YouTube?
I don't know. That? I'm going off your lead with that one.
Okay, I have no idea. Okay, if this isn't a live version of Corey Taylor, then how about the new song from the Wild Hearts?
I like it.
Okay, cool. Go buy yourself some new Wild Hearts music.
Yes.
Bisto Blanco's got a new album coming out, too. Check that out.
Oh, they do.
I said, you want to have some fucking fun out there? Let's see what you got on this. You ready?